Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hey, you're about to hear our brand new podcast, My Crazy Family. And if you like it, I need your help. To let other folks know that this show exists, we need reviews on Apple Podcasts. So if you got about 10, 15 free seconds, please head over to Apple Podcasts, leave us a quick review, and I'll make it worth your while. Send me a screenshot of that review, and I'll enter you into a contest to win a $500 Amazon gift card. So leave the review on Apple Podcasts. Send me the screenshot to contest@crazyfampod.com. That's contest@crazyfampod.com. And later in the year, we'll randomly pick someone for that $500 Amazon gift card. So please leave that review at Apple Podcasts. Then send me the screenshot. contest@crazyfampod.com. And thanks. Hey, Stacy, are there any deep, dark secrets within your family that if it came out, it would change everything?
Oh, my family's got a whole treasure trove of those sorts of things that we'll dive into one day, but not today.
I'm just hoping like DNA testing makes my family a little more exciting, you know? on today's episode of My Crazy Family, a sister-in-law revealed a secret about a brother that if that gets out, it's bye-bye family.
My
crazy
family.
My crazy
family.
Welcome to the program. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any episodes of the program. And leave us a review there on Apple Podcasts. We do greatly appreciate that. It's Tony and Stacy Cole with you on today's episode of the program. And I believe you're wearing a hard hat today inside your house.
I am. So I don't know if we're going to be able to hear this while we're recording, but a couple weeks ago, we've got this beautiful tree in our backyard and it's been dropping limbs just willy-nilly. We had a downburst that happened one Monday afternoon and it absolutely like took out our backyard. It hit the neighbor's house. It hit our fence. It just destroyed all kinds of things. And so that was one Monday. We got our chainsaw out, took care of things. We were good to go. The next Monday, we had a small thunderstorm with some gusty winds, like you do. The tree, same tree, dropped an adjacent branch right on my husband's car. Just totaled it. There was $23,000 worth of damage to the car.
Oh,
and I mean, the car wasn't even worth that, but that's what they estimated to fix it.
Oh, wow.
So today, the tree is coming down, and the guy who's doing it just showed up unannounced, had no idea that he was going to be doing it, because I would have been like, no, not right now. I'm going to be recording. Plus, all my patio furniture is sitting out in the yard. He's just like dropping the branches in between my chairs, and I'm not going back there right now to get them.
Yeah, yeah. And if you went out and said, hey, could I move these? Would you just get grunted at? And then you just kind of like, oh, okay.
Guaranteed. The guy actually, he reminds me of Joe Walsh from the Eagles. I'm not kidding. I mean, and he does beautiful work, but just he's something else. He's just, this is what he does all day. And I'm glad that's what he does. But it's, he just kind of freaks me out. So I've locked my cats out of the upstairs level of the house. I don't want them up there just in case a tree decides to hit. I don't want them to die.
Yeah.
And I, before we started recording, I want you to promise me that if I die during this recording, would you use it on your ghost story podcast? Because I think it would be kind of cool.
Oh, it'd be used in promos forever. It would be, this is the show where the woman died live on the air.
Yeah, and, exactly. Because there's branches, we're talking like limbs, not just branches, but like the tree trunk parts are landing like probably 5-6 feet from me right now. So, and this is the room that I do my podcasting in. So I can't really move. I've got my soundproofing up. I can't just go in the living. I suppose I could, but not gonna.
I'm almost picturing the moment in Christmas Vacation where the tree goes through the window.
Yes. I've got a window right behind me. Yep. So it could happen.
So look out, Margo, because it could get a some issues in there with the trees falling through the windows.
But, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
My goodness. Well, we got some interesting stories here today. Let's start with our first one about the grandmothers, because you think of grandma, you think, well, you know, cookies and all that. But a lot of us didn't have grandmothers that did that. But a lot of them didn't do this either.
Yeah, this starts out as not so much a secret, I'm assuming, in my family, but my great-grandmother ran a brothel that my grandmother and my aunts worked at all the way up into the 1980s.
Wow.
Now, think about the 80s. Were there brothels around?
I wasn't. I guess in some areas it was legal. Like, there are some places in Nevada where it is legal. So I'm assuming it was there, or it was just kind of underground, you know, because, I mean, they exist today, but they're not, you know, on the up and up or anything like that.
Yeah, it's not like it's just out there.
Yeah.
It says it's not really a secret, but no one talks about it much. I actually asked my aunt about it once and expected her to be ashamed or something, but she said they all had a pretty good time doing it. Nobody was forced into it, so it was all voluntary. She said everyone had lots of money and cocaine and got to meet famous gentlemen on occasion. Here's an edit to this. She says, I guess I should have mentioned this in the original email. This all happened on my father's side of the family. So very short little crazy family message to us. But wow, lots to talk about.
Glad they specified it was just that side of the family.
Yeah. I wonder if the other side knew.
That would be interesting. Like, sometimes when you have those really big get-togethers or both sides come for like a graduation or something, that would be interesting. Like, oh, are the Hooker family coming to this? That would be.
But yeah, I suppose lots of money. You know, I guess wouldn't you'd want to know, how are you guys making all this money? Where's that coin coming from?
Yeah. Well, that could be one way, I guess, of doing it all the way up into the 80s. It makes me wonder. It would be interesting to see family pictures from back in those days.
Yeah. And, you know, was there a way that you dressed for work, but outside of work, you know, it was just t-shirt and sweats kind of thing? Or, you know, because we all have our image of what a hooker looks like, you know, thanks to movies.
Yeah. I mean, I
wonder, did they look that way?
I would think just, you know, it's like the uniform. Like, you're probably wearing that when you're at your place of business. But I would imagine when you're going out to the IGA, it's normal clothes, it's sweats and, you know, but of course, 7-inch stiletto heels. But other than that, completely normal.
Dear Lord. Our next story, really keeping with secrets in the family. My great uncle was probably a spy of some kind. He was a pretty badass dude, smart, had an exemplary record in World War II. But my parents, evidently, they were suspicious about the job that he had. Mm-hmm. He supposedly worked for the U.S. Geological Survey, but among other things, he traveled for work a lot for somebody who worked for the Interior. I'm not aware of the other reasons they had for their suspicions when he was alive, but my dad was a detective, so I figure he knew what he was talking about. Mm-hmm. Seems their suspicions were valid. After he died, they went through his home and his belongings. His passport had no stamps, despite the fact that he was often overseas. He had secret compartments in his house. Seems their suspicions were valid. After he died, they went through his house and belongings. His passport had no stamps, despite the fact that he was often overseas. He had secret compartments in his house, including a few for guns. And he was hardly the paranoid type, and some other stuff that I just can't remember. No idea what he actually did for his job, and I don't think we'll ever know. He was a really cool guy, though. Everybody misses him. An important detail I forgot to enter on the email. The feds searched and raided his place after his death and before my parents arrived. They said they needed some of his work files. So there's that too.
So there's kind of some evidence there pointing that this was legit. It wasn't just a crazy uncle or somebody saying, I do this, or, you know, let that rumor, you know, linger.
Right. And for the feds to show up, I mean, we've seen some things in the news recently quite similar to this, but just an odd thing. Do the feds even know that people like you and I exist, and they would just show up at this guy's house and take things, you know?
I imagine they keep track of people who, you know, have certain knowledge. And if you're going off and living your life, you're retired or whatever, it's probably understood that once someone like that dies, it's like, well, we got to go and sweep and make sure that, you know, everything is here is not just something, you know, Billy's going to find when they're going through and getting the items separated out.
I wish there was a way to find out what this guy did.
Things like that, you never, you probably do a lot of interesting things. And if you're super undercover, you do a lot of good, but you never would get recognized. You know, it's like the CIA. When somebody like that dies, who's in that, there's no name that goes up. There's a star that goes on a wall, but it still never says who it was, because it compromises, you know, other investigations if they reveal that sort of stuff. It'd be interesting to know how many people are there just like in our circles of life, within families, within friends. How often is it where there's somebody in there that we think, you know, does this or does that, but is actually, they do that. They work for the government in some sort of secret capacity.
I bet there's quite a few.
You think?
Yeah, I do. I really do. Because the government is so big that I don't think it's just contained in the buildings that we see. I think they're everywhere. And I know that sounds conspiracy-like, but I think there's just undercover people in a lot of places that we wouldn't imagine. And they're kind of quietly keeping an eye out. And I don't think it's for nefarious reasons. I just think there's a lot of people who are in the inner bubble.
The thing is, the government, with what we can see of it in the United States, runs like a shitty 1987 Oldsmobile.
oh, God.
So the idea that we have, you know, secret people, and in certain levels, yes, I get there's secret services, things like that. But in other things, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's more of a fantastical idea that the government's really, you know, in movies, we, you know, oh my gosh, there's a strange plane flying over, and then suddenly, oh, we have the missiles to shoot it down. Like half the time, they're like, don't go in that area because it might crash. We don't know. I don't know. I think we have this, at least I did, kind of this romanticized version of security growing up in the 90s that really has been shown to be like, no, they don't really have their shit together. Not very much at all. So I don't know.
Interesting.
I mean, I like the idea that maybe there's, you know, but I don't know that there is, because with the things we can see on the surface are such a clusterfuck. What's going on that's secret behind, you know, until you get way deep into all of that, where it's not just like local governments, it's, you know, like big, big conspiracy type ideas.
You don't think it's just a show that the government's just a bunch of fuck ups just because it looks like a better cover?
I'd like to believe that, but I think that is probably what we witness with the fuck up is exactly what it is. It's one giant fuck up, and we want to assume there's something deeper to this because it's so unacceptable to, I guess, come to terms that this is like, it's as big of a cluster as it is. So we think there's always something greater and something deeper. I mean, it's like when some people will put fantastical ideas and project them onto certain leaders or this or that, like this person is out there to destroy all the child pedophile or the pedophiles out there getting children. Like, that'd be great if there was, but yeah. I don't think that. And it's like, I don't know. I mean, some of this shit, when we go to like the Trump stuff, it's like, of all the people in the world, Trump is the one that's going to go fight this shit. Like, I would more so have suspected him being involved in this shit if you asked me this like 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, and if you want to elevate somebody who's quote unquote famous, somebody like Arnold Schwarzenegger, maybe you might be able to say, you know what? Yeah. That guy might be able to do some things, especially in his younger days, but.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And it's not to say that there's not And it's not that there's not those sort of rings and stuff out there, because it's shown that they exist. I mean, look at Epstein. Look at all the people that get busted for that sort of thing. And I think there is some deep, dark shit that's going on out there. I just don't, you know, when I'm thinking of how does this get solved, how does this get exposed, the person that I think to be the exposer or the savior of all this was not Donald Trump. I mean, and that's not a political thing. If you like Trump, you don't like Trump. I just don't think he's the guy that everyone looks for the savior of something like this or the exposer. I don't know why everybody thought or feels like he's the guy that would do something like that.
I think it's because he's got the balls to do stuff. And yeah. I'm you know, and I don't want to sway anybody any direction. I'm not a fan.
Yeah.
I interviewed him before I left radio, and I was not impressed with how he treated me. So I've always, you know, even with The Apprentice, I had issues with him.
Yeah.
So I'm not a fan. But I think people have given him the superpower that he does not have.
And I get people are looking for, there was a space where people were looking for an answer, looking for basically a savior type figure. And I don't grasp why he was the one that was like, there seems to be a lot of options out here over in the conservative world that seem to be a lot more likely to be, I don't know, effective in, you know, at bringing people together for a good cause of stopping horrible things like that. I just don't get where the equation goes. Oh yeah, he's the one. Don't question it. He's it. Like, okay, can you just tell me why or how? And I don't seem to ever get anywhere with that.
No, I agree 100%. A good portion of my family, they believe he is the second coming of Christ. I say that with kind of a smirk on my face, but they're not kidding.
Yeah.
And it just makes me like cross my arms and go, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah. I don't get, and again, I'm not saying, you know, vote this way or vote that way. I don't care. I just don't connect the dots that way. And I've yet to really get a clear answer of, well, okay, we believe that he is this person, and here is why. It's just usually a lot of grandstanding, like, and he's going to stop this, or he's going to do this, or this, or that. How? And what? Why hasn't he already?
I don't know. That's the thing. Yeah. You know, he says a lot of things that a lot of people really believe in, and a lot of the stuff that he has said, I kind of go, well, yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I just don't. He's acted pretty much like a doofus in a lot of his ways that he's held himself. And I don't know that there's much more behind it. I don't know. I'd gladly vote for a Republican or something that seemed a little more, I don't know. I just didn't have any faith in that.
Yeah, I didn't either.
I don't understand why people do.
For 16, 17 years. And when he came along, I'm like, I can't. Yeah.
I just don't understand it. And that's where I come from on it. I hope in our next cycle here, I'm not happy with anything that we have right now either. Just so people are like, you're a vote. Like, no, I'm not. I'm unhappy all around with anybody that's in power. We just need to wipe this whole thing clean. And I don't want him anymore. I don't want the current Democrat. I think everything should be just start fresh, because none of this is fucking good. But
I honestly almost wonder if we shouldn't look into a monarchy or something. I mean, I feel like we need to look into something different, because what we've been doing, I think maybe it just played itself out. It might just be time.
In the U.S. would end up being run by the Kardashians or something. Well, be like, well, we picked
people
the Kardashians.
Are so fucking interested in what's going on. My Twitter feed blew up when Kim Kardashian and Pete Davidson broke up. It was like, I really thought that maybe we were being bombed or something with how many alerts I was getting. People are fascinated by this.
They are. And I cringe.
So do I.
I don't know. I mean, half of what we do is talking about crazy stuff, but it's like, I don't know. When it gets to the celebrity stuff, I'm like, yeah, I don't know. All right. What do we got for our next one?
All right. Well, not long after my brother's wedding, my wife, who is terrible at keeping secrets, came to me with some news. My now sister-in-law got drunk during her bachelorette party and told my wife something about my brother. He's a cross-dresser, like paint your nails, wear makeup, go out in public in women's clothes kind of cross-dresser. This would be a total bombshell if my crazy for Jesus sisters ever found out.
Oh.
My mom would disown him and my dad would mock him. I'm the only one he could tell, but he's so ashamed that he hasn't even done that.
Yeah.
And honestly, I just feel bad for him. I want him to know that he can be whoever the fuck he wants to be, and the rest of our family can suck it. He'll never tell anyone, me included. Luckily, he married a triple G, which I had to look that up. Do you know what a triple G is?
I have no idea what a triple G is.
Well, and I've completely messed up my algorithm. Now my ads are just off the chart, bizarre.
Okay.
On Google. But the triple G is used on adult dating sites and forums, and it means good giving and game, meaning that you're a high quality, selfless, and willing sexual partner. So okay. Let me go back and read that sentence. Luckily, he married a triple G, except for the part where she got trashed and spilled the beans.
Oh.
So she'll, you know, even though he is a crossdresser, it doesn't say that he is gay.
Uh-huh.
Some people crossdress because that's just what they want to do.
Yeah.
And it has really nothing to do with their sexuality.
Yeah.
The person goes on, after telling my wife about this, she said, no matter what lifestyle he chooses to lead, she'll stay with him because they are best friends and they love each other. So at least he has that going for him.
Well, that's, so yeah.
She's a beard is what it sounds like.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
It's not a bad thing. I was a beard for somebody for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And probably some of the best times of my life. I protected him, and he worked at a bank,
mm-hmm.
and a very conservative bank, and was really gay. I mean, sure. Really gay,
mm-hmm.
except for when he was at work.
Mm-hmm.
He put on the show, you know, very serious. And
I think we've worked with several people over the years that had that sort of a setup with their significant other.
And
it couldn't be talked about. I think we are both probably thinking of the same person right now.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
And great couple. Like I think they're still together. I haven't talked to them in years.
Yeah, they are.
But. Yeah. It was like the 90s or the early 2000s and everything. So everything was not as open as it is today by any means. But you always just kind of knew, but nobody cared. At least those of us who, you know, were accepting didn't care. But yeah, I mean, it's an interesting thing, because if that is what you want to do, and good, it's more power to you. And in an idyllic world, it would be wonderful if your whole family said, oh, this is great. Why don't you come over to the barbecue dressed like that? They're probably not, and they probably never will. But yeah. I am happy that they have someone there that's a supportive person in their life that should be the closest person to them, their significant other, and that they don't feel so alone with that sort of a setup. But yeah.
It's, you know, and it's a tough thing when you find out accidentally, but it shouldn't change anything. It's just an expression. It's just, you know, them being who they are. Mm-hmm. And I have the utmost respect for people who go through this, because it's, like I said, I was somebody's beard for a little bit, mm-hmm. and we would go to, company parties and kind of do the public display of affection just to kind of throw people off a little bit.
Sure.
There was a tiny little rumor that my friend was, could be gay.
Mm-hmm.
And this was back in, gosh, it was late 80s, early 90s, where, you know, if somebody seemed a little effeminate as a man, they mm-hmm. were automatically assumed to be gay, which sure. It's just not the case. But he needed protection. If radio didn't work out for him, we were both in radio, he needed to stay at the bank, and they were not going to tolerate a gay man working at that bank. So we had to go above and beyond to convince them that we were a couple and we were going to get engaged and all this stuff. And he finally went on in radio and did really well and quit the bank. And I think he pretty much came out to them and said, you know, fuck mm-hmm. you, I'm gay.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
but
it's amazing that, you know, this wasn't that long ago. You
know? Right. It was like 20, 25 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just well, sad the 80s were more than that. People have to live that way.
80s were like 30 some years ago, Stacey. Sorry.
No, don't talk to me like that.
It's been it's been that long. So, you know, everything will always be, that was like 20 years ago until it's like, shit, that was like 50 years ago.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's a hard reality, man.
It is. What else we got?
Okay. This one is something else. My mother was a single mom. She had various boyfriends, one husband hanging around, a drug addict, alcoholic, all that exciting stuff. When I was 13, we were living in a room in this house way out in the desert. My older sister was 16 and had already moved in with friends. I'm not sure why, but for some reason, we had to leave the place we lived in prior, so my mom rented us this room to share with most of our stuff in storage. I didn't know the man we lived with. I think his name was Mike, but I could be wrong. My mom pretty much just came up to me one day and said, "We're moving." And that was that. Anyway, after we had been there for about a week or so, I was home one day and my mom was lying on the couch in our room and she seemed to be slipping in and out of consciousness. I kept trying to wake her up, but she was so completely out of it. So I went to call an ambulance. We didn't have a phone in our room, so I went into the living room to use the phone. Mike was on it, so I asked if I could use it. Said there was an emergency and my mom was sick. I needed to call an ambulance. He ignored me at first and then got annoyed with me, but wouldn't let me use the phone. So I took off on foot down to the nearest grocery store, probably the equivalent of several city blocks, and I used the payphone. By this time, I was so panicked that I couldn't even remember the address. So I called a friend of my mom's and she said she would call the ambulance. She said to stay there and wait and she would come and pick me up. By the time she came to pick me up, the ambulance had already come and taken mom to the hospital. I went with her to her house, thinking that once my mom got out of the hospital, she would come and get me. Well, she didn't. She left the hospital against medical advice and did not contact her friend. To this day, I honestly don't know what was wrong with her. She said it was a drug overdose, alcohol and Valium, no doubt. And then other times she said she had a stroke. She lies all the time, and she's crazier than a loon, so I'm sure I'll never know the truth. Mm-hmm. Well, the story goes on. Mm. After a couple of weeks, with still no word from my mom's friend told me that I could no longer stay with her. I had to find another place to live. I called my sister to see if I could stay with her, but her friend's mom said no. She already had two kids, and plus my sister, so she had no room for me. My sister contacted my aunt and uncle, whom I hadn't seen or spoken to in probably a year or more due to my mother and some other dramatics, I'm sure. They agreed to let me stay with them. I moved in with them with nothing but clothes I was wearing, plus one duffel bag of things, maybe a few clothes, some cassette tapes, stuff like that. After staying with them for a few days, they offered to adopt me, and I agreed since I didn't really know what else to do. Finally, after about a month, my mother surfaced. I sat in my cousin's room and waited to find out where I would be living next. I could hear my mom and uncle yelling at each other, and eventually my mom came into the room and started telling me to pack my shit and get into the car. We were leaving. My uncle came after her yelling, and I just sort of freaked. I ran into the backyard to get away from them. I told my mother that I wanted to stay there, and when she had a job and a new place to live, I would come live with her. In my 13-year-old emotionally freaked out state, that seemed like to be a logical solution. Well, this sparked much drama. My mother accused me of abandoning her, saying things like, "I've never been good enough for you," basically acting like she was the victim, and I was a horrible person for abandoning her in her time of need. Finally, she gave me an ultimatum, either go with her now or never see her again. I chose to stay. I really figured she was bluffing. Eventually, she left, and I didn't hear from her for a very long time. I started thinking that perhaps she was serious, and I would never see her again. Then I got a letter from her when I was about 15 years old. It was about 4 to 5 pages long, and it was about how she forgave me for abandoning her.
Of course. She's the one that's giving forgiveness.
Yeah. She says, I tore it up and threw it away. The drama goes on further, but this is already too long. Didn't read material, so I'll stop there for now. Yay for family drama.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
The best thing that that could have happened there is that the mom did go away, and that the mom, because there's this idyllic thing that we have as people where we have this version of our parents in our mind and what they should be. Well, reality is a lot of times that's not how it is. Now, if you got that, you are lucky. But when you're sitting there and you're going through chaos after chaos after chaotic situations with these people, they will never stop. And as long as they're near you, you'll be affected by it. So the thing of, well, the parents need a mom and a dad. Yeah, if they're healthy, if they're mentally healthy, great. That would be wonderful. Or two parents, whatever. I'm not going into making this into a situation, just talking about this. But if one's not good, yeah, they can go away. That young mind doesn't need that extra chaos. They already got enough damage that's been done. We don't need to sit there and keep, you know, dragging the person through the debris yard of the world that was exploded by the dumbass parent or the parent that has some sort of disorder that is then going to fuck up that kid and anyone else around them unless they get help for it.
I just, you know, my heart just breaks. This is a 13-year-old kid dealing with, you know, I don't know where I'm going to wake up tomorrow. Yeah. I don't know, you know, I don't have a stable person in my life. Mm-hmm. Just, my God, when you're 13 years old, things are hard enough.
Yeah. Some people, I mean, it's a disorder thing ultimately when it comes down to it, but from the outside world, and if you don't have the disorder, you look at this and it's looking at a crazy person. And it really is, because it's how do you have that little regard for the human being that you're responsible for? How are you so enthralled with everything that's about you and nothing about anyone else, especially your child? How do you operate like that and then somehow convince yourself that that you can be the one that forgives when, you know, you're the one that was doing all the wrong? It's disturbing. It's insane. And it's very traumatizing, especially to a kid if they don't get it. I mean, I've had to do a lot of educating, and luckily I got a daughter who understands this shit show, but, it's not fair. I feel horrible that she has to, you know, live through some of that. It's not me, but it's mind-boggling because you don't understand how other people think these ways, and you just kind of got to do the best you can.
Yeah, and these people that act this way, especially to a 13-year-old kid or younger for that matter, maybe it's time you step away from parenting, because the moments that you're putting into this child's life, you're traumatizing them. It would be better if you just weren't there.
Yeah.
Just like you said.
Yeah, that's I completely agree. And it's one of those things where why would you want to keep traumatizing the person if that's the outlook? I don't know. It's spooky. It's spooky to see what people are capable of that you never thought they would be capable of.
Yeah, isn't that the truth?
But, you know, Not fun, but it is interesting with people like this. I've had it said to me several times about some specific disorders where the doctors even said, you know, it's almost like they all went to the same convention and they all like got the same rule book. And now they, because this sort of behavior, a lot of them do the same sort of shit, and it's spookily weird because it's all done independently. It's not like they all got in the chat room or a Reddit and said, how do I do this? How do I fuck up this part of my life? But they all end up doing the same sort of thing. And eventually it leads to this. It's running, which is what's going on. They're not getting essentially the food, the mental food that they feed on. And when they don't get that out of the people that have been giving it to them forever, they run. And that just seems to be how they work.
Isn't it? It's just tragic. It just, like I said, it just breaks my heart. You know, you look around, kids are getting ready for, you know, maybe going back to school soon. And, you know, that's stressful enough. But then you throw in, well, your parents are crazy. You know, that's a lot to deal with.
Yeah, it is just a lot.
Heartbreaking.
It is. And I hope that that things, you know, work out well for that person. It's one of those things where, you know, you'll go through it and hopefully, you know, you can use it as a way that you look back on and go, this didn't destroy me. It made me stronger. Shouldn't have to have done that, but you did. And, you know, it'll work out. You'll be that much stronger as an adult. All right. Absolutely. That's going to wrap up today's episode of My Crazy Family. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any of our episodes. New ones every single Monday and Wednesday on the feed. And leave us a review there on Apple Podcasts. We do greatly appreciate that as well. For Stacey, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to My Crazy Family.
My
crazy
family.
My
crazy
family.